Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. Welcome back, Joel.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's not been a long time.
No, it's been a week. But it feels like, it does feel like it's been a while since I've been in this room.
Yes.
So, have a good vacation.
It was nice.
Good.
Yeah.
Was there anything big from the last couple weeks? Something that you would have brought up on the last week's podcast had you been here?
No.
No? Yeah, that's pretty much how we felt, if you couldn't notice.
It was a good week to take off.
Was it obvious that, by minute 20 of last week's podcast that I was seriously vamping? Yeah. I talked about football for, 15, 20 minutes.
It's like, I'm good.
Yeah. Okay, cool. At least this week we have...
This week we have tons to talk
we've
about.
We've got a takeover. We've got a pay-per-view.
And we have a fairly eventful SmackDown. Raw was
meh.
Yeah, I mean, it was okay. Right. It was a go-home show.
See, here's the thing. I've got a friend of ours who knows of wrestling, has been open to it in the past, but has, in the past 3 weeks, has taken a, more direct effort on, getting to know wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But this person's also a huge Bachelor fan, or Bachelorette, or whatever is...
Whichever one's on right now?
Whichever one was on a Monday.
Okay.
So... She couldn't watch Monday Night Raw, and the only night she could watch was SmackDown. And honestly, it's kind of paying off, you know, because her first full SmackDown was Cena Nakamura in the main event. I was like, oh, that's a high bar to start off.
To start that off on,
yeah. But this is how
I think my first Raw back was. It was DX trying to take the tag team titles back from Show Miz.
Gross. Okay.
And The Undertaker showed up and distracted Shawn Michaels, and Miz got a roll-up pin on Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, yes, this forever.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can... My first one back was the hour-long Cena...
Which
Shawn
is
Michaels.
A fantastic story to be like, this is the thing that drew me back in.
Right, which is going on, which is over 10 years now.
And and mine was, a roll-up pin? What a maneuver!
Right. But, and this is how I know that she's going to be a good wrestling fan moving forward. Without any sort of
prompting
or pressure or anything, she immediately gravitated towards Chad Gable. I was like, I don't know why, because he hasn't really had... he had a good match against Rusev.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago. And this week he just got the crap beat out of him.
I don't know if I've gravitated towards Chad Gable yet.
He got me with Sammy Wow Wow.
I have no problem acknowledging that he's good, that he's talented, has a bright future.
I saw in NXT that he was really good. He had that good underdog type style of working, the Daniel Bryan's, guys like Daniel Bryan's have mastered it, and of course Chad Gable has a while to get there,
right?
But he's got that element about.
No, there's a lot going for him, but
obviously,
I don't need to expel that, but he still sits more in the okay, I have no problem with this,
sure.
Than the oh boy, this guy. He hasn't gotten to the oh boy, this guy for me yet.
Yeah, for now I'm glad he got the American Alpha theme song in the divorce, it's working out way better.
Of course, he was gonna get it because his name needs to get a disco remix of Kurt Angle's.
That's what it is, right? In a weird, it's not a minor key, but it sounds like it's a wet fart version of Kurt Angle's music.
I mean, it's
all synthesized.
It's the same theory behind Charlotte Flair's disco,
sure,
Ric Flair entrance,
except. You can hear that her version of the song took time and effort, whereas Jason Jordan's theme song just sounded like someone was bored on their keyboard for one afternoon.
I mean, yeah, I'm still pretty sure that this angle was decided at 6:30 on a Monday night,
right before they announced that it was going to be Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
On top of that, and again, you weren't here, and I don't know if I even touched on it last week. I might have, but the fact that they had Jason Jordan come out and then brought out somebody who was announced as, they're in Toronto, they're in Canada, announced this unknown jobber from Canada and expected Jason Jordan to get over. Like, what are you, like, they're like, oh, and I, apparently, like, the thinking was, oh, well, he's from Montreal. So yeah. There's no way that, you know, these people from Toronto are going to, you know,
no.
Go after these.
That's not how Canada works.
No, that's not how Canada works. Once Canada, always Canada. Yeah, they might bicker amongst each other, but when they're going up against, you know, us Yanks, then...
And you're putting him against the son of the original All-American-American.
Right.
Like, America's a third of his entire character.
Sure. So, it... Of course they was going to get their reaction. Now, why he's continuing to get that reaction, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Again, I always liked Jason Jordan. He's got a good look. He's good in the ring. He's got, you know, some intensity. He's got, you know, obviously he's rough around the edges still, but that comes in time. I don't understand why the negative reaction, other than, you know.
My opinion of it, and while, like, it is stronger negative reaction than is perhaps deserved, I think it's coming from, I don't know where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is an idea of, like, they look kind of similar, and they have a similar moveset. And that's, mm-hmm. that's end of thought process.
Sure.
And so there's, like, okay, are we getting, like, a turn heel because he takes advantage of his dad being GM? Are we getting eventual Jason Jordan versus Kurt Angle?
Right.
Are we getting, like, what are we getting out of this? And we're like, we don't quite know.
Right.
And I don't think you quite know either.
No, and I, yeah.
I'm tired of them not, I'm tired of storylines.
No, there was no forethought
And I get that happens a lot,
mm-hmm.
but I want the pretense of, you know where you're going with this.
Make it look like you kind of know what you're doing.
Right.
Like, at least make it look like you know where it's going the next week.
Right.
Not necessarily like 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time, because apparently that's asking for too much, but just 1 week ahead of time that you know of where you're going.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, I understand what you're saying. As far as like kind of looking like, again, I watched that Kurt Angle 24 where they had some old photos of him, like in the mm-hmm. Olympics or whatever. And again, looks almost exactly like Chad Gable. I'm not even like.
Yeah, but that's the whole Dolph Ziggler should have been Mr. Perfect Son thing. When actual Mr. Perfect Son.
Right, sure.
It's like, oh, who's this guy?
Oh, do have some exciting news. And this is like legit. Like, I'm not even trying to pull a, you know.
It's not a Paige Del Rio thing.
Yeah, no, this week, the page, apparently Paige is ready to wrestle any day now. Okay. We'll see where that goes. But.
Thanks for your horse review of that news.
I mean, did you want me to break it down for the next 20 minutes? Because I won't, and nor can I. That's literally all I had for that. But to the real big news, we're recording this on Thursday. Tomorrow morning, Friday morning, we're getting new Southpaw Regional Wrestling episodes. That's fantastic.
Which are we getting like a full another little batch? Or are we just
that's what I'm assuming.
Okay.
Yeah. They haven't really said anything as to, or they haven't said, you know, otherwise. I'm assuming probably in like another 4 episode run. Hopefully more. I want all those Southpaw Regional Wrestling.
I'm assuming they couldn't justify the excuse that show's budget was too big. Like,
you're cutting everything.
It's a stretch. They're like, maybe they'll buy it that Talking Smack is an expensive show, but I don't think we'll get away with that on Southpaw.
Apparently,
Regional
there was like
Wrestling.
Another half hour NXT. Like, I think it was like NXT Insider or something like that. Apparently that got
that was
cut.
Talking Smack for NXT?
Kinda. But it was more like Kathy Kelly just like interviewing people from NXT whenever it was recorded and slapped together in like a highlight the kind of thing.
Yeah.
That got cut too. I'm like, it's starting to not make sense anymore.
No, it doesn't make sense at all.
Like you're using footage that you already had.
Yeah.
It's slapping it together and reusing it on the network. Come on.
So speaking of NXT,
yes.
Let's go ahead and jump into the first of our mini events this weekend.
Yeah. All right. So 5 matches on this card. You got Johnny Gargano versus Andrade Almas.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it only? Well, it only listed as Andrade Almas. So like it got my hopes up for a second that maybe they've shortened his name, but
I don't need a name shortened. I need a name overhaul. I need to name him like Philip or something.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, Wikipedia just might be lazy. All right. Singles match, Gargano, Almas. I'm guessing
Gargano
wins.
Gargano, yeah.
And we'll see if Almas is still doing the thing where he just doesn't care. Now, I do like the thing that they're doing with Zelina Vega, the formerly, I can't remember how to say her first name, but her last name is Trinidad. She was the stunt double for... or she was portraying AJ in the Paige movie.
Paige movie, yes. Yeah.
She's his new valet.
Mm-hmm.
And then on NXT, I think she's only been on NXT with Andrade once, but she was kind of like a, you know, like a snap back to reality, you know, for Andrade. But like, no. No drink, Elo. Like, get your brain in the game. Like, let's go. So I don't know if that's going to play a factor, but Gargano's going to win. I mean,
oh yeah, no, without question. That's
it's way too early to start thinking about, you know, a run-in with from Ciampa, because I think he's still got a while to go.
Well, you need to build up Gargano a while, I think, before you need to build him up to be able to knock him down again.
And I guess I should look and see what the timetable is for Ciampa for him to come back.
I'm assuming WrestleMania.
Because that would be amazing.
Like, I for assume the main event, that's a takeover.
New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
That would be amazing main event. Like, they don't really need a championship, but it would be the main event, I think.
Okay, would that be the first NXT where the main event isn't the title? I don't think we've gotten a grudge main event. Mm-mm. For a takeover.
We've gotten, like, each title has been the main event of a mm-hmm. takeover.
But it's always been some kind of title.
Right. All three of the NXT titles have been the main event of a takeover, but never a grudge match, something that's not for a championship.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it would be fitting for it to be that one.
I mean, I think it would be, too. I also think that you could definitely get Johnny Gargano to be champion by that point, if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah. So next we got Aleister Black versus Hideo Itami.
I'm going to say Hideo Itami,
mm-hmm.
but sort of just because, like, I feel like I'm supposed to.
Well, see, here's the thing. They've had...
what's the thing, Chris?
Well, was it a few weeks ago, they had, like, 1 week you had Bobby Fish debuting from Ring of Honor.
Uh-huh.
And like, okay, oh, who's he going to be fighting, you know, because he's probably just going to beat some, you know, local person or whatever, or just somebody that they hired for the day. No, they got him up against Aleister Black, and Aleister Black, of course, won.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good match, but Aleister Black won. The next week, Bobby Fish's tag team partner, Kyle O'Reilly, he debuts for Ring of Honor, and the same thing. Aleister Black beats him, too. So it's like, okay, so Aleister Black is just going to beat everyone. He beat Cassius Ohno,
yeah.
who is not on the takeover. Like, I think this is like two takeovers that Ono's been a part of that he hasn't been on, two takeovers since he's come back, and he hasn't been on either one of them.
Yeah, that's weird. You're right.
Yeah. So that's weird.
I mean, part of that is just like, because takeovers are still, because it's a 1 hour show and they're events, I mean, takeovers are still just 2 hours, right?
Yeah. And so, they still do like, they record for an hour beforehand.
Yeah. And so like five matches.
Sure.
I kind of see where they're like, they don't have...
Right, and I can also see, like, from this past week, there's probably going to be, if I had to guess, one of the iconic girls, Peyton or Billie Kay, against Ruby Rose.
Yeah,
Riot. Ruby Rose is an actor, never mind.
Ruby Riot.
Ruby Riot, that one. So...
Can I just say something that really bothered me about NXT? Not this week, it was last week NXT.
Okay.
On that feud. So, the little furthering of the feud was,
you're talking about the pre-tape, like, video.
Yeah, they're doing a makeup tutorial, and then like Ruby Wright walked in the background, and they got, I guess, distracted and upset about that.
Right, because Ruby Wright never acknowledged them; she just kept walking.
Right.
I was like, okay, like maybe she'll overhear them, and be like, you know, then be like, hey, you know, chill out with that or something like that. But no, she just kept walking.
But so this is. Effectively, a YouTube makeup tutorial that these two characters, these two people have just decided to put out.
Right.
There's no understandable reason why NXT, the production, would decide to incorporate that as part of their show, to grind the show to a halt.
Specifically that one in particular.
Yes, that one in particular.
Now, I will say this is something that they've done in the past. Like, they've done other videos where they're talking and then somebody that they don't like comes in the background and then they have some sort of confrontation.
Right.
But this is the only one where it's like, there's no confrontation to why I include this.
Well, there's also ones where I get that it's a different way to do a backstage segment.
Sure.
But backstage segments, I feel like, need to have a purpose. You have to acknowledge that there's a camera there. You have to acknowledge that the show is doing this. Like, for everything terrible TNA ever did, mm-hmm. one of the best things they did was when they did the backstage segments, and they, like, they would be kicked out of the room when Hogan had to, like, talk to the network or whatever,
right.
and then had to, like, tape through the window and it was muffled, and I was like, oh, we're getting secret exclusive-y footage.
Yeah.
It's not this, like, whole, like, why is there a camera in Triple H's office? Why is Triple H's office two curtains and a poster?
Right, yeah.
And you'll be like, why did we start recording in the middle of his phone conversation? So.
Yeah, you got a point. But also, it does feel a little cheesy-ish when it's done all the time.
Yeah.
You know? I don't. But going back to the match.
Of course.
I don't know. I think they need to... If Hideo's going full heel, which he's, you know, he's gone towards.
Right.
He's going to go full heel. I feel like he's got to lose this one to really, like, really piss him off. You know what I mean?
I could see that. So. And then, like, I can see... Because, again, one of the great things they're doing is, as a product, you know, as a brand in general, mm-hmm. is I could see either going either way.
And it'd be
on
fine.
Just about all of these. And it'd be fine.
Yeah.
There is no outcome where I'm like, I am embarrassed.
Sure. Right. Like, none of these challengers are, you know, Jinder Mahal or anything. So now we got the tag team championship, Authors of Pain versus Sanity, specifically Alexander Wolf and Killian Dane with Eric Young and Nikki Cross.
This is a heel versus heel match, right?
I guess so.
I love heel versus heel matches. They are my favorite.
So much cheating. They need like five refs.
I just, it's just, it's because they never do it.
Sure.
And sometimes
we'll get like a friendly competition between like face versus face, but
right.
hardly ever.
So it's always heel versus face, except for like rare moments where it's face versus face at right. WrestleMania to see your favorites fight it out. But it's never heel versus heel.
Well, I will say this, as far as like their head to head, at least this past week, I think it was this past week. It might've been the week before. Authors of Pain was working face.
Yeah.
Just because Sanity went full heel. Yeah. Like the zip tying one of the members of Authors of Pain to like the railing while they beat up the other one. That's you know, heel stuff. But, you know, Authors of Pain, they're not, you know, painting them as, you know, Boy Scouts or anything. They, you know, so I like that. Even if they're working face for this match, they're not going full face or anything.
It's just when they bend over backwards to be like, oh, there's six random people in the ring. Let's have a 3-on-3 tag match. It just so happens that I randomly off the top of my head picked the three faces for one team and the three.
Oh, sure.
One team. And so the
which is going to be on the show next week, on the week after.
Oh, yeah. Like, but the fact that we're doing heel versus heel, which never happens, my favorite. I love it. Authors of Pain.
And it's also like, it's also kind of evident of, you know, the NXT tag division is kind of anemic right now.
Yeah.
You know, because there's been so many call-ups.
Call-ups and split-ups.
Call-ups and split-ups, yeah. And there's not really any other tag teams out there that are ready. I would argue that Sanity probably isn't.
No.
Because they're not really looked at as a tag team. They're just
well, and Authors of Pain is fast moving into that I'll pick them till they lose just because
sure.
I'll do get think, more points than lose points.
I do think Sanity's probably going to, you know, obviously going to pull some shenanigans and might get the win that way. I don't know if that would turn Authors of Pain face. I'm okay with like kind of how they're going.
Yeah.
But that would at least give us a good feud for the next few months or so while they build up the rest of the tag division. Because, like, Heavy Machinery, you know, they're entertaining, they're fun, they're huge,
mm-hmm.
But they're not there yet, you
right?
Know? So we'll see. And what was it? The guys that like Snapchat and plastic cups.
Oh, Street Profits.
Yes, like. I still don't like the dude that wears the two headbands. I can't stand him, but the other guy, Montez Ford, I think it's his name.
Mm-hmm.
I like that guy.
All
right. I like him, especially this week. I think the two headbands guy just slapped the mess out of the opponent. And they just went down like a sack of potatoes, and the other guy just like reacted just like on every YouTube video you ever mm-hmm. saw. And he was like, he was so shocked that he started like running through the crowd. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, did you see that? It was pretty funny. But it'll be a while before we see them as serious
right.
competition.
Right.
So I've got I'll go with like what you're saying, Authors of Pain.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Sanity, you know,
okay,
pulled out some shenanigans just to kind of keep it going while they build up the rest
of it. But Authors of Pain is your pick.
Yes.
Okay.
NXT Women's Championship, Asuka versus Ember Moon.
Where do you see this one going?
I see Ember Moon winning.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm not going to like it.
Because, like,
call BS and be like, that's not believable.
I will say Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have said several times now, for almost a year, I'm picking Asuka till she loses.
Yeah, like you just said about Authors of Pain.
Right.
Yeah.
And like this is the one, and I can see it. I'm like, oh, this is the where your smart money switches, and you should pick Ember Moon. But I've said it, and I'll stick to my word.
And I honestly feel like they
also I'm not winning this year. So
right. Well, I mean, well, also we don't
NXT
count NXT.
Doesn't count.
Yeah. So we could pick. You know, you could.
I'm picking a Vince McMahon run in to win the NXT Women's Champion.
You could pick George Washington to win this.
Nope, I'm sticking with Asuka. I think Asuka's going to beat George Washington.
Fair enough. Well, mostly because he's dead, so it's going to be real easy to pin him. So, I honestly still think that Ember Moon was supposed to win months ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, with the injury and everything. And I'm happy for it, because then we wouldn't have gotten like that little mini feud that Asuka had with Nikki Cross. That gave us some pretty good matches.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I see Ember Moon winning this, and then maybe, like, you know, a rematch on NXT a few weeks from now, and then probably Asuka's calling up soon.
Yeah.
I don't know if they keep Asuka's current character when she goes to the
I think they go back a little bit, mm-hmm, because I think she's gonna get such a pop when she comes out.
Yeah.
I think some of the meanness has to go, because she's not been I don't think she's been full heel.
No.
And that might be
she's just made a cocky turn.
Well, and like she's done enough heelish stuff that like if it wasn't Asuka, I might have been like, no, they're a heel by now. What are you talking about?
Right.
But I was like, I still see, and it's, you know, partial crowd reaction, but she's gonna get a huge pop when she comes out.
Yeah.
If they do it right, then she'll run through a division for 3 months before anybody's able to touch her.
Yeah.
And so she has to be a face to do that.
Yeah, no, you're right. So that moves us to the NXT Championship. Bobby Roode versus Drew McIntyre. I think Drew McIntyre wins.
I do too. Do you think that's because Bobby Roode's getting ready to be called up?
Yeah. I think so. Oh, I mean, well, I don't know, because this Roderick Strong thing makes it kind of a weird situation, because they've kept him involved.
Yeah.
Because there hasn't been much of a like direct one-to-one feud between Bobby and Drew. It's all been Drew or Bobby
and
Roddy
Strong.
So I don't know if it's because he's getting called up, or they're going to involve Roddy and they'll start having like triple threats or something like that. I don't know. But see.
I actually think the smart money right now is to leave Bobby Roode on NXT for a while,
mm-hmm,
as your dominant top heel,
mm-hmm,
much in the way Samoa Joe was for so long.
Right.
I like that NXT has this final boss, Mega Bowser Ganon character.
Yeah.
That you have to break through before you are worthy of the main roster.
I like the
main roster has essentially a gatekeeper.
Sure.
And I think Bobby Roode really serves that. He's also done a really good job of molding his character into this is my NXT.
Sure.
Which fits that, you know.
Yeah.
Fits NXT for a while. I also really adore the guy. I know he's a little bit older than your average up-and-comer in NXT. I don't know. And this is like, I don't need to see him at the bottom of the card on, you know, Raw or SmackDown here, fighting another 3 years to get back into a title scene.
Sure, yeah.
So I would honestly rather see him be on NXT.
Sure, and even if he, like, honestly, if he stays there, that wouldn't be so bad.
No.
You know, it's kind of like what the original plan was for Joe,
mm-hmm,
was there was no real, you know, there was no real plan for him beyond NXT.
Well, and it feels like he stayed on NXT until there was a plan from him. And that's part of the issue with people like Enzo and Cass and Apollo Crews, where, you know, they've served their time, they've had their pops, it's time to call them up when you have nothing for them.
Yeah.
And so we've seen a lot of guys, you know, hit big and immediately fizzle out because there's nothing for them to do there.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if you just saw my reaction just now, but I pulled up the SummerSlam card.
Uh-huh.
My reaction was to how many matches there were. 13 matches.
Yes.
That's including pre-show.
Yes.
Also, it's weird that, well, I mean, obviously something has to go on the pre-show. Two championship matches are on the pre-show.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go with the most insignificant. Sorry.
SummerSlam is an extra hour, by the way. It starts an hour early.
Yes.
For those who don't know.
A two-hour pre-show, four-hour main show. So it starts 5 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m.
Okay.
For the main show, Eastern.
At this rate, how long is it before WrestleMania is a two-day event?
I'd give it about 3-4 years.
Like, and it's not like a continual event, but...
Notice I didn't immediately like laugh this off as a preposterous idea. No, it'll be like
there will be 3-4 years. There'll be a Saturday-Sunday
mm-hmm.
WrestleMania. And then they'll do like co-main events. One will main event Saturday. The big one will main event Sunday. And they'll both be 6 hours long.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't Ring of Honor kind of do that every now and then? Like, have a two-day big event?
Oh, yeah. Like,
yeah.
But that's happening with WrestleMania.
Yeah. I mean, sure. I mean, that's another way to milk money out of, you know, the fans, you know, is get them, like, hey, you want to get tickets for both nights,
mm-hmm.
you know?
You move the Hall of Fame to, like, noon on Saturday?
Well, no, they moved it to Friday.
Yeah, but then they moved TakeOver to Saturday. They flipped TakeOver. And so if they do a two-day Mania, TakeOver has to be on
Friday. If you think
about
it, WrestleMania is already a two-night event because, you know, TakeOver. Honestly, I wouldn't mind it if they moved them to the same venue.
Yeah.
And that kind of be your two-night event. Like, have the big NXT TakeOver.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, you could have...
I can see that happening sooner than WrestleMania itself being a multiple-day event. You know,
you think so?
I could see them moving NXT.
I don't know about that.
But NXT kept growing the way it was like a year or so ago, now it's kind of, you know, plateaued.
It's
right
definitely
now.
Plateaued. They're talking about how they haven't sold out of Brooklyn yet for
any of the shows.
Yeah,
yeah.
But what Brooklyn won was the first show to sell out that year.
Yeah.
I don't think that they'll share the venue anytime soon, mm-hmm. if nothing else, because WrestleMania looks like it's going to be an outside venue situation from now on.
Or at least a big...
Yeah, well, except for like the occasional. They're not just looking at outdoor venues, but I think they like outdoor venues better for WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see NXT being an outdoor venue.
Maybe. I don't know.
So I think that's the holdup, is that visual
mm-hmm.
Shot right there. I could see a situation where they have a pre-show bonus show instead of just a takeover.
Mm-hmm.
They have takeover, a cruiserweight, and then UK show all like...
Like a kind of a super show the day before WrestleMania,
right.
kind of thing. Yeah.
Since it's like Raw and SmackDown are sharing this show.
Well, yeah. I mean, they've already had UK, you know, UK matches on NXT.
Right.
Which I wonder why they should have done it for this one, too.
Because apparently the UK show after.
But then again, Pete Dunne was in a match recently where he got a pretty bad laceration on his face.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a good reason why he's not on that. He needs to recover. So. Okay, so now we're going to go through SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start with the most insignificant one.
Well,
of them.
I guess you want to do Raw and SmackDown first?
I mean, well, a lot of it has to do with SummerSlam, so I figured we would probably mention it while we go.
All right.
I'm just doing what we usually
Carry
do.
On.
Hardys and Jason Jordan versus Miz and Miztourage.
The Hardys.
Hardys and Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
I really thought they were angling towards like Miz and Jason Jordan for the Intercontinental Championship.
I want to say you're doing a good job of picking the least significant match first.
Thank you.
You did a really good job there.
I think out of the pre-show
yeah.
stuff.
I think you really nailed that one
Thank
on
you.
The head.
This one, Not so much insignificant in our hearts, but just more insignificant in the eyes of WWE. We're going to go with the Cruiserweight Championship. Tozawa versus Neville. And this is where, like, I haven't been watching 205 Live in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I did watch the promo segment from this past week after Neville had lost the night before. Man, Neville, he's going all in with these with his character, and I love it. I love, because of course his character will be like, you know, he looks like he hadn't slept all night. He looks like he's just worn down and in disbelief.
Yeah,
and he sold the crap out of that. So I just again wish that wasn't on the pre-show, but then again, 205 it isn't doing all that great. So why would it be on the main show?
Again, like I can't say anything new that we haven't said 50 times before. It just like the invest in it. You have the superstars to build. It's not like, you know, and then they keep talking about like, oh, if they just put this guy or that guy on this show.
And then they put that guy on there and
do nothing with it.
Yeah.
And it's like you don't need to put new guys on the show. You have an incredible range of talent, an incredibly diverse group of characters. Mm-hmm. You have built up a nice little main event. You have TJP and you have, you know, Cedric, and you have a bunch of people. Any one of them will be like, I'm challenging for the title. I'll be like, I believe it right now at this moment.
You're right.
But no, you know, and whatever. I just like, it's very frustrating.
No, yeah, I agree with you. Moving along, we have the most significant of the pre-show matches, and that is the SmackDown Tag Team Championship, New Day versus Usos. I'm going to say New Day retains.
Picking New Day every time worked really well for a year for me.
True. Also, I don't think we picked for Cruiserweights.
Oh. Do you think he's retaining, or do you think it's going back to Neville?
I'm thinking Tozawa retains.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll pick back to Neville.
Okay.
Just to throw a little variety. I think there's a good chance he might be thinking along the same lines in some of these later matches. So.
Sure. So we're retaining.
Yes.
You're retaining for the Cruiserweight, and then we're both saying New Day retains. Okay. So now to the actual show. We got Cesaro and Sheamus versus Ambrose and Rollins. I don't know. This one's hard for me because I don't know where they're going with Ambrose and Rollins. I'm assuming eventually they're going to have Ambrose turn.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, because, well, even though it would be better if Rollins turned, because clearly he's better as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, what was it, like a year ago, we were clamoring for WWE to turn a face, but now that we've got a good, like, you know.
Now that we saw it, we're like, oh, never mind.
It's like, now it's like, no. They knew what they were doing, turning it, or keeping it.
It's just like, it's so close to a Shield reunion. It's so close.
Right.
And, like, that's, if you want Roman to be face, literally all he has to do is show up
when these guys are there.
He's got to do the little fist pose, and he will be a face.
Like, you heard the reaction when they finally did the fist thing.
Those two guys standing in the ring have gotten more We Want Roman chants than Roman himself.
Yeah. Absolutely. 100%.
And now's the time to do it. And then you can sneak him back into the main event by Mania. I know you want.
100%. Absolutely. We could finally get, like, you know, like, well, we can get, like, Shield and New Day stuff, you know. If they move one of them over to the other roster, I'm assuming they would move New Day because they're not gonna move the Shield to SmackDown. But you could do a lot with them now. You could build Roman back up, get the fans back on his side.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the best way to do it.
For
some reason, it still feels like a bit soon for me for the Shield to be reunited.
It does feel soon, but I have to remind myself they've been broken up for 2-3 years now.
Apparently, well, according to whoever said it on Raw, is that 4.
That seems crazy, but
also,
I guess.
No. Well, because they were together for WrestleMania 30, and that was 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Because they broke up like a couple months after that.
Right.
So, 3 years.
3 years.
Corey Graves doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, they're headed towards 4. They're barreling down the road towards 4.
Yeah. Surely by Survivor Series, I feel like we'll get a full Shield reunion.
You think?
Yeah. Because if they decide to do that the same way as they did last year with Survivor Series, with like kind of a Raw versus SmackDown kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that might be how we get Shield versus New Day.
Okay. Do you think...
like a 3-on-3. Yeah, obviously.
See, I almost go the opposite mm-hmm. of you. I think if it doesn't happen now,
mm-hmm.
Then by the time we get to SummerSlam, it won't actually be a reunion. There'll just be three of the five members on the team.
Oh, you're talking about when you get to Survivor Series.
Right.
You said SummerSlam.
Sorry.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
We always do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you get to Survivor Series, there'll be three. And they'll do the fist, and they'll do the triple power bomb.
Yeah.
So they'll get the pop, but that'll be it.
Right. Not an official reunion, just like we're all on the same team
right.
for this one time. And then Roman's like, back to the main event. See yep. you suckers later. No, or I would be okay if that's the start of the reunion, you know? And then, like, the next night they're officially reformed or whatever. I don't know. But certainly I feel like Survivor Series would be a good little circle mark, because that would get people to tune in.
Yeah.
So
I'm picking Dean and Seth.
Yeah.
But I will say, I was when I first saw that, I was like going through the list, like, who am I gonna pick? I was like, 2/3 of the Shield in kayfabe, there's no question.
Yeah, right.
Then I was like, you know what? In all honesty, they've done really good building up Cesaro and Sheamus as a legitimate, genuine threat that works well together,
mm-hmm.
that can hold their own and frequently dominate in a tag team situation.
Yeah. I was like, so that makes it a little bit more difficult. Or if it's something that where, you know, they've built them as heels to the point where, like, well, maybe they'll do some dastardly things where they'll win, they'll keep the belt somehow, but, you know, further piss off
yeah.
Roman or Rollins and Ambrose.
But like,
where they chase a little bit more.
Thinking like in full kayfabe, la 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 la, it's still real to me.
Yeah,
that like either one of these guys could go, and that's how it should be.
Yeah. Or, you know, now that they're potentially tag team champions, then they have to like, okay, now we really have to learn how to live around each other, you know, and be used to each other again. So that might be what Raw is going to turn into for the next few weeks. I don't know. So yeah, I'm by that aspect, I think I'm saying Rollins and Dean as well.
Okay.
Next we got Cena versus Baron Corbin.
It should be Cena.
Everything they don't even have to. They don't even have to worry about keeping the Money in the Bank holder looking strong anymore.
Like,
they took care of that.
I will say that the only thing that keeps me from just saying Cena outright is Cena's weird SummerSlam curse, where he can't
True.
Win at SummerSlam.
I think this is where he breaks the curse. To be honest with you.
But I think A, it's Cena, and B, it was such a weird thing for him to lose the Money in the Bank title like that.
Yeah,
and like it was he lost on a roll up. Like he got
to Jinder
Mahal with like zero offense in there. Mm-hmm. Like he took one move and was out.
Well,
I'm like, that's not that's a you have heat backstage loss.
Yeah, and that's the story that's coming out now, is especially with his Twitter antics, because he's full heel on Twitter, which is usually like, you know, I applaud these things.
Well, I appreciate that,
but he went a little far with a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so I've been impressed mm-hmm. as a whole, looking at WWE has three guys that immediately come to mind when I'm thinking giants that are heels.
Yeah.
And that's Baron Corbin, Big Cass, and Braun Strowman.
Right.
And all of these guys are, I am giant and I will kill you,
mm-hmm.
but are very different about it. Like,
yeah.
Braun is full Hulk smash rage mode. And
it's
then
kind of the full package.
Big Cass has this like, smart me, I'm big, which makes me better than you. And Baron Corbin has this genuine, like, aloof, I don't care about wrestling. I'm here for, like, the fans. The thing that was I'm not here for the fans, sorry.
Yeah.
The thing that was working by the end of NXT.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's really impressive where you have
sure.
the same basic big guy character and have gotten three very distinct, very different characteristics
yeah.
out of it.
The guy, like, doesn't care so much that he doesn't take his shirt off anymore, and I applaud that.
But
we don't need to see that derpy belly anymore.
I was like, I don't know about Baron Corbin, so I think Cena has become the safe bet.
Yeah, I think the Twitter incident has gotten him a good deal amount of heat backstage. Also, it's Cena. And yeah, I understand with his whole SummerSlam streak thing going, it's not enough for me to be like, nope, that means Baron Corbin's going to win. No.
So the three people in WWE history to have somebody cash in the Money in the Bank on them and retain it.
Two of them are fighting each other.
Are Cena, CM Punk, and Jinder Mahal.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like the three guys who have
cashed in and failed.
Yeah, the two of them are fighting
each other. No, I'm saying the three guys that are strongest in their ability to, defend that theoretically guaranteed shot. The three guys that have overcome the odds.
Mm-hmm.
Those three guys.
Yeah. One of those doesn't belong.
CM Punk. He's not in the company. That
was the joke I was going to make. all right, so.
I made myself sad.
We're not going to go on another CM Punk tangent.
Oh, we might.
Okay.
The podcast is young.
It's not. So now we got Finn versus Bray, where they kind of like, they showed their hand already. It would have been better if Finn had gotten really pissed off during the whole like acid solution thing that they try to say was the liquid that Bray White. It was blood. Mm. It was supposed to have been blood, obviously. It would have been better if he got pissed off and alluded to the demon coming back. But then they're like, it's official, just heard, Finn Balor's going to come back as the demon on SummerSlam. And I understand, like, that's going to, just saying it outright like that gets the dumb fans that can't put two and two together. And so they make sure that those fans tune in because they like the demon.
So,
but it would have been so much cooler if he just, like, alluded to it but never addressed it full on like that.
So, in the 50s, when they needed to make, like, a cool rad rebel kind of character.
Yeah.
They put him in a leather jacket.
Yeah.
Put him on a motorcycle. You know, drive off into the sunset.
Sure.
Kind of thing. But then there'd be this thing where they, like, have to be like, oh, I can't do this, Daddy-O. I'm just too cool for school. And you're like, oh, now he's not cool. You tried too hard.
Right.
I feel like they've done that with the demon paint.
Just in this one week?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, you're
like,
right.
Like, they've gotten a little close to it beforehand, but, like, to up and acknowledge, like, he's painted, so now it's different. Now he's scarier.
Is it worse that message came from Michael Cole?
It's not great.
Anything that comes out of his mouth immediately loses all cool points.
It's just,
like, whenever he tries to use some sort of street lingo, anytime Titus O'Neil comes out.
Trying to convince me that he's a different person? Like,
see, I would have liked it if they just left it, because he, you know, still covered in all the paint or whatever, coming out of Kurt Angle's office. I would have been fine if they left it there.
Yeah.
You know, and he may have, like, alluded to it or something at that point.
I mean, if it had
stayed at that point without Michael Cole announcing it and then showing him up on the graphic in the paint and everything, like,
and if he had like cut some random promo where he's like, "Don't wake the demon," like,
right.
Or you know, you're fighting the demon and something, like, you know what? Fine, that I could have taken, but then for them to say, like, especially because we had a Finn Balor Bray Wyatt match,
yeah,
and then they were like, "Oh, we're having this match and we're pretending it's a different match."
Right.
And it's like,
see, the perfect way he did it was the first time down in NXT, where he looked dead at the camera and he told the Ascension. He was talking to the Ascension through the camera. He's looking straight at the camera. He's like, on TakeOver, you're going to see something you've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know? And then next thing you know, here comes the demon.
And the thing is, something like that can 100% work.
Yeah.
And I tell you, turn back to, I think it was Royal Rumble 2000, I think, or 2001. It was when Mankind was fighting Triple H.
Okay.
But he cut some promo Triple H cuts on promo about you can't face me. And like, and Mankind comes out and is like, you're right, I can't beat you, but I have a friend who can.
Yeah.
And it's Cactus Jack.
Because that was the Rumble that was at Madison Square Garden. And yeah. they had a, like a really bloody fight that and he was supposed to have retired from. And then he,
right.
that same year, they had that fatal four way main event for, yeah. which was WrestleMania 2000. Yeah.
So
glad we figured that one out.
But just like the way he set that up and then the way Triple H sold the fact that he thought he was fighting Mankind, right. but now he's fighting Cactus Jack, that like, you are able to transcend the fact that it's the same person.
Right.
But
and even if you sell it like, oh, he is a different, completely, like a completely different mindset when he's this character kind of thing.
But having an announcer tell me and then showing a graphic and then telling me that's a different thing, that doesn't work.
Yeah. That is forced spoon feeding you.
Yeah.
You know, and it is just mixing metaphors, but it's beating you over the head with it. Yeah. And it's just, it's not cool.
No. And it has put a giant damper on this whole feud for me. And I wasn't big on this feud to begin with.
No, God, no. I was ready for this to be over.
I've started to realize, like,
I was hoping that they realized that they had too many matches on the card and they just decided to blow it off on the Raw before.
I'm getting a little concerned, but I've been ready for Bray Wyatt's feud to be over with whoever he's been feuding with for about a year now.
Yeah.
Like, I was excited that he won the title.
Sure,
but
yeah.
But then the feud that started right after that was Randy Orton.
Yep.
And I was like, halfway through the first promo, I'm like, I'm done with this one.
But yeah, we would have been we would have loved it if they changed it to Bray versus Luke. Like, they were kind of, like, hinting at a little bit.
Yeah.
We haven't seen Luke Harper really since.
Yeah.
I would have been okay with it at that point. Maybe it's they haven't put him against... They haven't put him against guys that we're really interested in.
See,
and then this whole Finn Balor thing, they just...
Like, I want to argue that.
Weird, yeah.
I want to argue that. But he's been going up against a lot of different people.
Sure.
And I'm like, and his... I don't want to be like, I've changed my mind and Bray Wyatt sucks now.
I will say this. I think it was a mistake to pluck him away from SmackDown.
Yeah.
I think he was making positive moves. And again, we're gonna feel the same way about pretty much anyone that Randy Orton's going up against these days. We just don't care. Because he looks like he doesn't care, so why should we care? Had Bray stayed on SmackDown after that feud, I feel like we would be in a different scenario.
Maybe. I don't want to...
Because it's almost like he has got to reestablish himself on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's kind of...
I don't want to say Bray Wyatt's the problem. Because I feel like that undoes...
But then again, every feud kind of feels the same. Because he's really just making the same videos, making the same promos, appearing and disappearing.
And at some point, you're sitting there, you'll be like, all right, where's Sister Abigail, and where am I following these buzzards to? I need some answers.
But now he's got blood-like, but let's not talk about blood, liquid that's acidic.
Yeah,
sure.
I need some answers. I feel like Ministry of Darkness Undertaker still gave me some answers.
Yeah, it was me, Austin. So now we've got a match that really could go on the pre-show, I feel. Big Show versus Big Cass with Enzo in a shark cage.
I will say, I was pleasantly surprised with how much I got into the promo for this feud this week on Raw.
Okay. I can't even remember it.
The crowd wouldn't let Big Cass talk.
Oh, okay.
And like, a lot of that will go to a good crowd can carry the worst of feuds much farther than it deserves to go. And we had a great crowd this week on Raw. They were into everything. They were excited about everything.
Okay.
But this was the first time I saw Big Cass, like the inkling of Big Cass being able to stand on his own as far as mic work.
In the sense that he wasn't as robotic?
Yeah. Like, yeah, and he, but he gelled a little, he rolled with the punches a little bit, he, you know, had some ebb and flow to his mannerisms and to his pacing. And like, part of it is like, wow, that's light years beyond what you've done before.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
Enzo came out and stomped him on the mic, but it wasn't as embarrassing.
Right.
And part of it is like, well, if we're going to get this big cast as a monster heel forced upon us, then like maybe at least I'll try and hope he'll do good.
Yeah, I'm not hoping anymore. I feel like we've seen the best that Cass could offer.
Big Cass is winning this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. 100%. Orton versus Rusev. I don't know. I feel like this would be a good way for Rusev to get a little bit of momentum.
Yeah.
Since he came back and was immediately squashed by Cena. But then again, you never know what they're going to do with Randy. Like, you never know when they're going to give Randy a win.
Yeah.
I'll
pick Rusev because it's the smarter thing to do.
Yeah.
And occasionally, I just need to do that in these picks.
Because I feel like, you know, you go with the guy who's more than likely going to be there the next week.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's Cena or The Rock or Brock Lesnar or Goldberg.
Yeah.
Randy Orton is none of those. So, and let Rusev get this win, you know.
Yeah.
Out of the two, he needs it. We got AJ versus Kevin Owens for the United States Championship with Shane as the special guest ref. I like this better than the rumored match, which was Kevin Owens versus Shane.
Yeah.
I'm guessing AJ probably retains.
Yeah, I do too. I feel like I should be a lot more excited about this match than I actually am.
Yeah, and honestly, it might end up being match of the night, you know?
No, like there's.
But going into it, it's just like, there, I don't know really what else to say, you know?
And part of it is because the two main events have dominated both shows so much that, like, I feel like this has gotten nothing and it only exists because the title exists.
Yeah.
Which I get, but is also a shame.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm saying AJ retains, though. And what amount will Shane interfere with? I don't know. And I don't know what this will lead to going forward, other than that, you know, Shane's an attraction, so we'll just put him on camera for an extended period of time.
Shane's got to be on camera.
Yeah, that's really all it is. Now they got Jinder versus Nakamura for the WWE Championship.
Nakamura.
Yeah, now that you've got the Money in the Bank briefcase holder out of the way.
Yeah.
Now you've still got the Singh brothers, and you never know how they're going to incorporate them into the shenanigans.
I have yet to pick Jinder to retain, and I don't think I'll start now.
I think I picked him to retain the Punjabi Prison match, because that one was just like, because I knew that was going to be shenanigans, you know, shenanigans city.
I haven't been able to bring myself to pick him to retain yet. And I don't want to start now when he's facing Nakamura. So
Nakamura's like 100% should be winning, and that'll be fun, and I'll be okay with it. We've got Bliss versus Sasha Banks for the Raw Women's Championship. I'm guessing Sasha.
How out of it is Bayley?
Like she's gonna be gone for a while.
Okay. I haven't heard a time frame on that.
I want to say, I looked at the time frame. I can't remember what it is. It might be something like what Finn Balor went through as far as time frame, I think. So it's going to be a minute.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
See, I still feel like Alexa Bliss.
I mean, I wouldn't. Obviously, I wouldn't mind, because like, I think Alexa Bliss has done an amazing job as a heel with the championship. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's more to her and Nia Jax than they've kind of explored. I feel like there's more there that they can do with. But honestly, like an extended feud with Sasha Banks versus, you know, Bliss with her, you know, her new bodyguard or whatever you want to call it. Like, I feel like there's a lot that could be done there as well. So I don't know. I'm gonna go with Sasha though.
That's fair.
Yeah. God, this match. Sorry. SmackDown Women's Championship, Natalya versus Naomi.
Naomi.
Why is Natalya in this match? Like, out of all the people who are making good like strides on SmackDown mm-hmm. out of the women's division. Why Natalya?
Okay, I would be fine with this being Natalya. I think Natalya is incredibly talented in the ring, and while she's never been
mm-hmm.
the queen of the mic, I think that she's vastly underrated in the ring. I think she's also, if anybody in the women's division has qualified underpaid their dues, it's her.
Yeah, but she had like an extended championship, or not extended, but it's like a championship feud against Charlotte. Like that lasted way too long. And same goes for whenever they first did the brand split with her and Becky Lynch.
See, I've not minded her being in those championship scenes. I think she's done a good job in the ring. My problem with it comes from the only reason that is that they're still having one women's storyline.
Sure.
And it's all centered around the belt.
Sure.
And you have enough people
that you could be doing other things.
That you could
now,
be
granted, like,
I would love to see, oh, Becky Lynch can't be in this title scene because she has a genuine passion
right.
rage feud with this person over here.
I can also see why, like, you know, there's also 13 matches. So it's not like any of those matches could really go on to something. And that's probably like their focus right now. But I would like some sort of thread, you know, at least
mm-hmm.
to have shown at some, you know, by this point of a storyline outside of this, you know. Now we'll say, I feel like Carmella's probably cashing in soon.
I think so, but I feel like the reason I feel like that is because nobody has held the Money in the Bank. I'm not sure they like people holding the Money
no,
in the Bank anymore.
No.
The last person to have like held it and been an actual, like, you know, I am the Money in the Bank winner
was Seth.
Seth.
Yeah.
Because after that, did Dean win?
Dean won it last year, yeah.
And Dean cashed in the same night.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sheamus held it for like a month, maybe. Baron Corbin, I guess, has held it for a month and a half, close to 2 months.
Yeah.
But has cashed it in now.
I forgot Sheamus had that.
Yeah.
Because he cashed on the Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
There's
okay.
Just, there's very little carrying it about.
Yeah.
Seth did it and Randy Orton did it. And those are the last ones I can really think of.
Well, Randy didn't hold on to it for that long.
Randy But Randy made a point of it.
Sure.
Randy made a point
okay.
of, I have this, and this could be cashed in any time.
Yeah.
And I'm pointing at you.
But the only
title
like real
holder.
Lengthy, you know, briefcase holder would be Rollins and Dolph.
Mm-hmm.
As far as recent memory, but yeah, I feel like Carmella's gonna be. It's gonna be soon. Maybe not SummerSlam. But maybe SummerSlam weekend.
I could see that.
Like, I could see it happening on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And now we got the main event with all of the man meat. Like, dear
yes.
God, like, these are some big dudes. Mm-hmm. Brock, Roman, Samoa Joe, Braun for
all right.
the Universal Championship.
Side bet, do you think the ring is collapsing?
No. Maybe. Crap.
Like, if there was a match where they were going to rig that ring to collapse.
It would be funny if they went full kayfabe with it and, like, the next two nights was with a broken ring. Like, guys, this is the only one that we brought. You know?
And everybody has to wrestle on that?
Or at least, like, it's, like, they show that it's, like, being held together with, like, you know. Being, like, it, you know, they pretty much patched it back up on Raw.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Because I feel like they just did it, didn't they?
Did they do it since Big Show and Mark Henry broke it at Vengeance?
Yeah, they did it with, I want to say, was it Strowman and Big Show?
I don't remember.
They did it because like, I remember John Cone, the ref, taking a bump. Like, it bounced and then he just fell out.
I don't remember the ring breaking.
I feel like it was.
I'll believe you.
Hey, Joel, how about you vamp for a second? Chris is going to do a Google search.
Okay, so before you do that, so you don't think Brock is retaining, right?
No, God, no.
Okay.
No.
So we're both clear on that. What do you think the odds of Roman taking the title?
25%. No.
Are you going to pick Roman?
No. I'm not.
Okay.
I feel the original plan, I felt like, was for, in this Fatal 4-Way, Roman to take the championship and hold it all the way to Mania.
I think that was the plan before it was a Fatal 4-Way. I think there was a idea at some point for this to be. Because I also think the idea was floated for Goldberg to hold it for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then Roman get it back from the monster who's held it captive for a year. Because that always works. That's stupid. Don't do it. So yeah, I think Roman holding it till Mania was a very strong possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, honestly, I think it's Braun Strowman has gotten himself and by association Roman a lot more over.
Yeah.
And so I think Braun Strowman has kind of wormed his way into it. And then if we got three giant guys, why not have four giant guys?
See, you took advantage of me and my old man brain. You made me doubt myself. I was absolutely right. It happened in April.
Okay. I must not have watched that one.
I mean, why would you? It's Monday Night Raw. Why would you watch that? I don't know. For some reason, I'm leaning on...
He broke the ring on Raw?
Yeah.
That's stupid. Was it rigged to break, or did they genuinely break the ring?
Of course they rigged it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then that's stupid. You break rings on papers. Why would you break a ring in the middle of Raw?
I mean, they broke the first time WWE did it was on an episode of SmackDown.
That was a genuine break, right?
No, that one was planned too.
The one with Brock Lesnar?
They held kayfabe for like years, and then Big Show finally like admitted it like a couple years ago on a podcast.
All right.
Yeah. And then they did it with him and Mark Henry.
I remember him and Mark Henry doing it.
Yeah.
Because I remember that feud starting and being like, they're going to break a ring before the end of this feud, and you did not believe me.
I don't...
We had an argument about it. It's like podcast.
Like it was like forever ago. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's 2011, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. I see Samoa Joe winning myself.
Really? I see Samoa Joe winning.
Yeah.
And I don't 100% know why.
I don't either. I feel like Joe like won over a lot of people backstage with his match against Brock.
Yeah.
And at Great Balls of Fire. That like, and they, you know, he got to showcase his promo skills, which hadn't really had, you know, a lot of opportunity up until that. But you get a little bit here and there, but not to that extent. Not in like a high profile match like that. So I felt like, you know, like I said, I feel like he won over a lot of backstage decision makers.
Okay.
How long? I don't know. I still feel like the championship goes back on Roman. Before
Mania.
WrestleMania. Or either that or it goes back to Brock. Either way, the main event of Mania is going to be Brock and Roman.
Okay.
Before...
God, I hope not, but okay.
Before Brock ultimately, you know, leaves, which I'm assuming is going
to
happen.
All right, so here's the challenge I put to you. Fantasy book, the ending of SummerSlam, for the best possible outcome with Roman getting the title.
Roman doing something overtly heelish at Bob to secure the win and have him finally go full heel.
And then who does he face? Just one of the other two guys?
He can do a double switch with him and Joe.
Okay.
You know? Or double switch with him and Braun and have them go in a year-long feud because they're on their way.
Yes.
At least halfway. Except for that one WrestleMania month that we don't really have to cover. Clearly the worst scenario is if he like did a double super spear, which is him running the ropes like five times instead of like two.
The worst thing is if he spears all three of them at once. If they're all lined up and he does like a spear through,
almost like a six man one bullet headshot. Yeah. Oh God. He's going to do that at some point before he retires.
Oh, he 100% is. He's spearing multiple people at once.
And honestly, like, kudos to WWE for, you know, restraining themselves this far. Because I feel like that's something they absolutely would have done already.
Yeah.
Like, they had Ryback, you know, do his little march thing to, like, two people, three people.
He did three. He never did three superstars. I think he did three jobbers. Yeah.
Skinny jobbers.
But he's done two superstars.
That's plenty of time. But, yeah, I feel like that would probably be the best case scenario, unless I'm completely blanking on another scenario. I'm assuming you've got something in mind.
I think, yeah, because I think, And this is a obvious like book through Mania thing. Sure. So if Roman has to win, so Roman wins, people boo, The Rock's music hits, The Rock comes down, does that exact same thing he did at the Rumble, where it's like, I'm The Rock, so you have to cheer the guy whose arm I raise. Mm-hmm. People don't care, they boo. Then Rock hits Roman with rock bottom.
Okay.
The crowd explodes. And so then we get this like feud, I would say up through Survivor Series. Rock barely has to be there because he's not champion.
That means we got to lean on Roman for promos.
I know, but I feel like I could overcome that because that has to turn Roman heel.
Has to. Yeah, there's no way in the world they're going to have anyone be face against Rock.
No.
And yeah, no, it's not going to happen.
I don't know if they could bring themselves like cuz then at some point they'll have to face each other. Let's say Survivor Series, maybe a Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody has to win and somebody has to lose.
Yeah.
And can they bring themselves to let The Rock lose?
It's going
to
take.
Or can they bring themselves.
Roman is going to have to run the ropes 10 times before he hits that spear.
Or can they bring themselves to have Roman lose? Like, so WWE's in this catch 22 of WWE booking. And then no matter who does that, Roman's still definitely a heel because he's been facing The Rock for 5 months now. And so then Roman's next opponent, Roman. Has the championship at the end. So I guess Roman wins or he gets back. I don't know how, because it makes sense for him to keep it so I don't have to get the belt off of Rock for the thing. But they still have to book that, and that's going to be awesome to like watch them sweat over that.
Yeah.
So Roman has it at the end of the Rumble. Cena wins the Rumble. And as grumpy as that sounds, and I'm sure everyone's going to boo the concept of
thrice,
Cena.
Are you proposing thrice in a lifetime?
Rock's gone. Rock's gone.
Okay. I was like, I swear to God. Because
then we go into Mania.
If you put that in the universe.
We go into Mania with Cena versus Roman for the title, and somebody's got to turn heel.
Yeah. Who? Oh, God. Like, I don't know who WWE would choose in that.
I don't either.
They've been stubborn on both of them.
I know.
At least with Roman, they let him, like, dip his toe in heelish type tendencies, especially after he beat Undertaker.
Like,
but I don't know. Like, because Cena's never dipped his toe. Not even close.
No. He's done like goofy teases.
Sure.
But he has not dipped his toe.
No.
Like the honest
Roman's gone way deeper in the heel waters than
honestly the closest
Cena's still sitting on the beach.
Cena has gotten is that like embrace the hate thing, not with Kane, but the one with Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania 30 and the couple of
and he was thinking about
and he's like,
chair shot.
Like, yeah, he's like, Am I gonna no, I won't. Loss of loyalty, respect, and then goes for it.
Yeah. There's that. Also, I think that they're the more likely scenario, just to bring it back to our earlier conversation that we were having in this podcast. Joe and Braun starts beating up on Roman after the fact. Like Roman gets the win.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the fact, you know, they're beating up on Roman, and then Seth and Dean come out to help out, and then ends with a triple powerbomb on one of them.
All right, I'd mark for that.
That would be a more likely scenario. I would like to see Rock at least get one more match, and you know,
I think Rock has one more match.
Yeah,
like I do. I think he does. I don't know where
or who, but you would think probably.
But I feel like Rock has one more match.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there,
and I think he would like to work against Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I would love to see a Rock and Samoa Joe match.
Yeah.
You know? That would be... I would like those promos a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, now I need that. Okay. I work myself into a shoot, guys.
The Rock's been gone long enough. I'm like waxing lyrical about it again.
Absolutely.
I'm dusting off my catchphrase bingo cards, being like, oh.
Until I bring up that Royal Rumble. God. Okay.
You don't want me to talk about CM Punk.
But I'll bring that up.
Been there this
just
for an hour.
Rip off that.
I will. I will throw another hour on here.
I'll rip off that.
Explaining
like
why that was the worst Royal Rumble in the history of
Band-Aid,
ever.
4-year Band-Aid?
I don't remember. 2013?
That wound should be healed by now.
Yeah, 2013.
You need to see a doctor if you're still needing Band-Aids for that. I feel like that's it.
That is it, yes.
Anything else?
Just honorable mention. Obviously, you know, we had the end of the G1 this past week. I know you're not caught up on it. Do you know who wins?
No, I'm genuine head in the dirt.
Okay. Well, everyone here, you know who won. Yeah, you know how Okada Omega 3 ended. A lot of people are talking like it's the best trio of...
I did see Meltzer's ratings.
So you know who won?
No, I just saw the ratings.
Okay.
And I know it got a 6-star.
The Okada...
Okada Mega.
Okay. You didn't see the ratings for the finals?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so you don't... You legit know... Okay.
I legit don't know.
Okay.
So
are you going to like go through the whole like G1?
That is my...
Because I would not recommend those beginnings.
See, that is my goal. Is like I really would like to. Honestly, I don't think I'm probably just going to do semifinals.
Yeah, at least do onward. The last three matches. Yeah. You know, just like, to do your due diligence. We all saw who the final was. Again, like those last couple days were pretty amazing. During the final show, like, so the surprise of everyone, Shibata came out. Like I didn't even know that the guy was able to walk. And Joel, like I'm sure you'll see it whenever you go through the G1 stuff. Make sure you at least watch that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like the joy in the crowd, people like in legit tears just from them playing his music, and then him coming out, people go nuts. Shibata's like always, you know, built himself up as that just emotionalist fighter, you know, and he comes out, he's cracking a smile, and as soon as he does that, everyone's like losing it, like, you know, like all of a sudden it's dusty in the room, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes in and he just takes one just a back bump, just a simple back bump, goes into his signature crisscross applesauce is what I think the kids are calling it now. Sits cross-legged in the middle of the ring, and it's just like, oh, he's just, even if it's just for this one moment, he's back, and he looks good, he looks healthy, which is, you know, it's a miracle that he's even there. It was such a good moment, and then, of course, he just, you know, the one thing he said on the mic is, you know, I'm alive, that's all, drop the mic, leave. It was just a really cool moment.
Yeah,
that I'm so happy I stayed up until, like, 4 or 5 in the morning to watch, and then passed out before the main event.
Yeah.
So... Joel, you got a lot to look forward to.
Okay.
You did see Okada Omega 2.
No, I did not.
Watch, for the love of God, watch it.
Honestly, at this point, I think I'm going to rewatch one and then just watch them, like block off time and watch
all
1-3.
Three.
Yeah.
Okay, because you probably have heard how long the second one is.
Mm-hmm.
I will rest.
3 is not quite as long.
3 is only like 25 minutes.
Okay.
25 to 29, it's under 30.
Okay,
so you've got at least that. I think it is the shortest out of the three.
Okay.
But yeah, no, do yourself a favor, start with that, go through the trilogy, and then watch the other semifinals and the finals.
All right, I will. But I mean, I've told Wrestle Kingdom to watch this now.
Oh my god,
so I'll put it off.
There's no way in the world you're not going to find out who the G1 winner is by then.
I think I can, because it's New Japan. And as popular as New Japan's getting, it's still a lot easier to avoid New Japan spoilers than it is to avoid WWE spoilers.
I feel like this is going to be the hardest year.
We'll see.
Because,
we'll
again, it's getting more and more popular every year.
It is.
This is going to be the hardest year to stay away from the spoilers.
It is.
I almost let it slip like 3 times just talking about it now. Yeah, I guess that's all I could say without ruining things for Joel. It was a good G1, highest rated one out of any of the ones previous.
Yeah.
So good for them. All the people that were in the G1, hopefully they can rest now, because that is a grueling schedule, especially with those type of matches. So yeah, hooray.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet all appropriate times, one of which will be this weekend, 2 times this weekend, Saturday and Sunday we'll be tweeting. So follow us along there at CR Attire.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Get a new episode every single week. You could write us a review or give us a rating of
5 stars.
If you do that kind of stuff, it helps out the podcast as far as iTunes goes.
Yep. And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook, easy way to follow Chris, easy way to follow myself, see what other kind of things we're working on. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah!